Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Mark 8, and our focus this morning is going to be on verse 12. And he, that is Jesus, sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for gathering all of us to hear your word, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask once again to send your Holy Spirit to work through this word so that our faith is strengthened in Jesus and our love overflows to all people in his name. We ask this in his name. Amen. Have you ever had to provide proof of something? I'm sure you have. I know I did. Almost 4 years ago, when my family and I moved here to Illinois, we actually had to provide proof of residency to District 204 so that Grace, my daughter, could actually go to high school there. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. Yeah, it was such a meticulous process that someone actually came and knocked on our door and said, "Is Grace here?" And she had to show up because apparently getting into Lyons Township High School is a big deal. But then you also have to provide proof of insurance, right? Otherwise, you're not driving that vehicle off that lot. And of course, there's multiple instances that we have to provide proof of ID just to buy this, get to this place, constantly saying, here's my ID, right? You have to give this proof to others to prove who you are, that you're insured, that you actually live here. Otherwise, if you don't, it's in doubt. Everything is in doubt. Well, that seems to be the culminating factor with this entire series. Pharisees, on some level, always demand some kind of sign to prove that you are who you say you are. A Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, his follower. And so, if this is what they demand, inevitably, it just so happens that we have to fall back on what we say and what we do, right? We start looking at what we say, the things that we do, the actions that we take, how well we are doing with that. We also look at the things that we're avoiding. Can't do that because otherwise we'll become unrighteous, unpure. And that's what this is all about. This is all done in the name of righteousness. So we want to not be the outcasts. We want to be the insiders. So we want to hang out with the right crowd. We want to make sure we're keeping all of the rules, God's or our own. And we want to avoid breaking any laws there. And sometimes we just dig deeper into this and deeper into this, even at the expense of everyone else. You just pile on more and more and more stuff. And this is what we do. Here's the evidence. There's no doubt. But doubt is inevitable. If this is how you and I approach our Christian life, there's a number of problems with this. And of course, the first one is, you know, are we ever going to present enough evidence? How do we know that we have spoken enough, done enough things, kept enough rules, avoided breaking enough laws? Where's the goal line there? And of course, what if we don't present any evidence because we're failing? We're disappointing ourselves, we're disappointing others. In other words, we're sinning. How can we provide evidence that this is how righteous we actually are? But really, the biggest problem with all this, where is faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith placed? What object is it aiming toward? So this is the dynamic at play in our text, our final text from this series, from Mark 8, in which the Pharisees came and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. They've had enough. They're just like, you know what? If you are who you say you are, we want a sign from heaven. Prove it. We want evidence. And look what Jesus does. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. It's like he's like, oh, okay, that's it. I'm done with you guys. I mean, seriously, you want a sign from heaven? Haven't I given you enough evidence already? It's curious that in Mark's gospel, none of Jesus' miracles are called signs. No. So they don't believe this stuff that they're actually seeing with their eyes. They don't listen to what Jesus is actually saying. So Jesus is like, why should I give you a sign from heaven? It's not going to do any good. You have no faith. And then the story continues where Jesus gets in the boat with his disciples, and it says they had forgotten to bring bread, and they only had one loaf with them in the boat. And Jesus says, hey, look, watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And they're like, great. Jesus is mad at us again. Forgot all the bread. Did you forget the bread? Did you forget? You know, they're just arguing about this stuff. And Jesus throws up his hands. He's like, why are you arguing about bread? You are no better than the Pharisees here. You are so focused on what you're doing or what you're failing to do that you are blind to what I am doing right in front of your eyes. All of the feedings with the bread, feeding of the 5,000, feeding of the 4,000, all of my miracles, all of my teachings, all of the parables that I've been speaking in, all of my entire ministry, don't you see where it is aiming? It's all evidence to show you who I really am, your Lord, your Christ, your Savior. Guys, do you understand? I honestly think that's a question that we should be asked every single day of our lives. Do you understand? Do you understand that too much focus on ourselves, on what we say, on what we do, how we act, takes our eyes off of Jesus, off of who he is for us, off of what he says and what he does for you and for me? Because Jesus has given us the greatest sign from heaven ever. And he told his disciples about it. He says, oh yeah, the Son of Man is going to go into Jerusalem. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be handed over. He's going to be beaten, flogged, mocked, spit upon. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be killed. And after 3 days, he's going to rise again. There is your sign from heaven. The Son of God hanging on a cross and rising from the dead. Also, I can declare to you, your sins are forgiven. Also, I can fulfill what I said I was going to do. I'm not coming to be served, but to serve. To give my life as a ransom for many. I'm the one who's going to come and pick up my cross, and I'm going to lose my life so that I can give you yours. And this sign from heaven, now that Jesus has it in his hands, who he is and what he does and says for us, he now feeds us. Yeah, he feeds us himself and his work every single day. In our baptism, when we are united in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he gives us bread, when he gives us wine, and gives us his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, when he feeds us the words of eternal life, his own words. You see what he's doing there? He's giving us the evidence. That's when we understand. Yes, it's all there. That who we are is all based upon what Jesus says to us, what Jesus does for us, and not what we say or do. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope you see now how we go forward with this. We no longer obsess about giving a sign, looking for signs that we are who we say we are, a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, his follower. You know, we don't lower our expectations. We don't try to do everything perfectly by making it all external sayings and doings. No, we point to the finished work of Christ to make us perfect. We don't try and pile on more and more evidence that we are his disciples. No, we take our finger, we point to the cross, we point to the empty tomb, and say, that's why I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we don't fear failure. We don't fear disappointing God or others. We don't fear sin at all. We confess it to our Lord and our Savior, trusting that he gives full and free forgiveness in Christ. Don't get me wrong. We're still going to be busy. We're still going to do lots of things as his people. We're still going to love and serve others in his name. We're still going to share the good news of Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit prompts us. Yes, we're going to be busy. But all of this flows out of faith. Faith that Jesus says who we are, not what we say we are. I ran across this quote that just sums this up, and I've quoted him before. It's Tully Indovician. I was reading this. It was just starting this book of his, and I came across this quote, and I said, you know what? That's exactly what I'm trying to say here. I want to read it to you. It's not that long, but I want to read it to you. Who you ultimately are has nothing to do with you. It doesn't have to do with how much you accomplish, who you've become, what you've done or failed to do, what other people think of you, the things you've accumulated, your behavior, good or bad, your strengths, your weaknesses, your family background, your education, how your kids turn out, how many times you've been married, your looks. Your identity is firmly anchored in Jesus's accomplishment, not yours. His strength, not yours. His performance, not yours. His record, not yours. His victory, not yours. You are not what you do or don't do. You are what Jesus has done for you. That is the truth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this series was titled Breaking Boundaries. And on the surface, it was about Jesus breaking the boundaries that the Pharisees had set up again and again and again. But it was really about God's grace meeting our lines in the sand and stepping right over them. And I think one of the greatest boundaries that Jesus breaks is doubt. Doubt that you've done enough. Doubt that you are loved. Doubt that you are forgiven. doubt that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, let's let Jesus break this boundary right here and right now when he says to you, I have done enough for you. I love you. I forgive you all your sin. I make you my disciple. Do you understand? Amen.